Today, I'm making a style that on the surface seems like it should be pretty straightforward and easy to pull off. But the more you get into it, the more difficult it actually is. We're going to talk about that now. Welcome to Big Monster Brewing. I am Matt, and today is another quick take episode, and this time it is about my red IPA, or my latest red IPA. I've done this a couple times. This is a beer I really enjoy because, simply said, when done right, it is the best of both worlds. It is malty, has a great malty flavor to it, and then it's also hoppy. It's got a very strong, distinct hoppy character to it, both aroma and flavor. Now, in some cases, this could also describe an American amber ale, but this one's different. This is, if you were to pick one of the two those two characteristics, malty or hoppy, it's definitely hop forward. That is what puts it in this classification as an IPA. In fact, it's one of the several IPAs in the 21B category, specialty IPA. It's a very unique category to the BJC guidelines because it doesn't have a beer. It is a subcategory with numerous beers. I'm not even sure. I didn't even count them. I know it's in there. There is Belgian IPA, Black IPA, Brown IPA, Red IPA, Rye IPA, White IPA, and the much maligned Brewed IPA. So unique category. Sometimes difficult to judge depending on what you have as entries, but that's not what this episode is about. Like I said in the intro of the episode, on the surface, it's seems like a very simple idea. You get a malty red colored, somewhere in the dark amber, but not quite going towards brown colored beer, then load it with hops. The simplicity of that explanation is also the difficulty, because when you start having strong flavors that make a red beer a red beer, those caramel flavors, the sweet malts, the things that really come out that are kind of pushed aside in a normal IPA, when those start to come out, picking your hops is crucial, because you can add hop character in there that not only clashes with the malt character, but makes the combination of the two makes a beer bordering on awful. There are some bad combinations of hops and this that very strong, distinctive caramel flavor, and aroma too. The aroma can be affected as well. And there's really no secret recipe out there to do this. It's a lot of trial and error, and then you have to hope. Here's the tricky part. You have to hope that when you have your recipe together and you do it again a year or two later and you get a different year of crops of a particular hop, that those hops have the same characteristics, because if one thing is out of balance from the other, you have a totally different beer. This is a very unique beer where both the malt side and the hop side really either support or put a really bad spotlight on each other. But when it's done right and they support each other, there's really nothing like this. It's probably my favorite style. My favorite, I always say, like, an amber ale is my favorite because it's riding that kind of best of both worlds, but this is really speaks to the hophead side of me. I'm not really, it all depends on what I'm in the mood for. I can be a hophead or I can be a malt head, but when I'm a hophead, there's nothing, when that's what my palate is wanting, if you got a red IPA and it's done right, that's what I want. And that's what I'm trying to do with this latest recipe. My last time I made this was, I think, 2019. It's been 5 years, so I've completely ditched the entire hop boil schedule for this beer, and I've kind of stuck with a tried and true amber recipe that I've used as a base. That I know is solid. That's going to give me the red ale caramel characters, the malt sweetness, the support that I want to build off of, but I just cannot trust that the hops I used 5 years ago are going to taste exactly the same with this beer as they did then. So that is going to be all new in this recipe. So speaking of that, let's actually talk about the recipe. This is for a 2.5 gallon batch. I was ready to do a little more than a 1 gallon test batch, but not quite ready to do the full 5 gallons. So 2.5 gallon batch. The recipe was 5 pounds, 12 ounces. That's 5 3/4 pounds altogether of pale two-row malt. Then to that, a pound of Munich malt. Then we get those flavor components that are pretty distinct to this beer, and that is 4 ounces or a quarter pound of 45L caramel malt and another quarter pound or 4 ounces of 120L crystal malt. Very, very strong malt for specialty malt for beers, but very appropriate for this style. And then a little bit, I didn't quite get me to the color that I wanted, because color in this, in my opinion, is a pretty important component of this beer. So I went with just 1.5 ounces of Carafa 1. Wanted as little bit of flavor out of this as I could. Now, Carafa 1 is a dehusked malt, so it's always going to give less flavor than a chocolate or a pale chocolate or a roasted malt. But using it, in the more you add of one Carafa 1, Carafa 2, or Carafa 3, you are going to pull some kind of flavor component out of that. We should get next to none with 1.5 ounces of Carafa 1. And that did bring me up to the color on this. Kind of a little bit of a spoiler alert. So that was good. It did what it wanted to. Now for hops, trying to keep it simple. Don't want to get too, what's the word? I don't want to say creative, because you always want to get creative with your beers. But I don't want to get this too out of hand where it's too much to change. There you go. Too much to change when I want to make a change on here. So I am starting a little bit early in the hop additions, a little earlier than I normally do, but I do want a little bit of bitterness to kind of stand on top of the sweetness and then start letting the flavors of the hops come out, but not, I don't want it to be a bitter forward beer. So I'm going with Simcoe, one of the two. I'm only using two different hop varieties in this, and one is Simcoe. So I'm going to put 1/2 ounce of Simcoe in at 45 minutes. This is a 60-minute boil, which I should mention. I kind of took that for granted that you'd know that, but it's a 60-minute boil. I'm going to let the boil go for 15 minutes, and at 45 minutes, put in 1/2 ounce of Simcoe. Then we're going to go to kind of a somewhat traditional IPA boil schedule and start at 20 minutes with another 1/2 ounce of Simcoe. Then at 5 minutes, I am going to introduce the second hop, and that is Centennial. We're going to put in 0.3 ounces of that, but it's not going to be alone. It's going to be 0.3 ounces of Simcoe as well. Simcoe's kind of the major player in this. I think the current crop of Simcoe is going to work with this. We're going to find out, but Centennial's there for support as well, and a little bit of rounding everything out. And that takes us to the dry hop. Nothing at 1 minute or flame out. We're going to bring in the rest of that aroma and flavor in the dry hop, and that is the same addition, 0.3 ounces of Centennial, 0.3 ounces of Simcoe at dry hop. Going to have it in there for 4 days. I usually do a little longer, and it's going to be cold. Half of that time is going to be during cold crashing. That might actually come back to haunt me. I might have wanted to put more in or do it longer. Longer is more dangerous to me than more hops in my practices. Your mileage may vary, so to speak, on that statement. I tend to find if I put them in for too long, anything really over 5 days, I start getting grassy and like these earthy flavors I don't want that may or may not age out. That's the problem. If they'd age out, that'd be fine, but they don't always do that. Whereas if I have 5 days or less of contact time, that's better. Now I have learned that while I cold crash in those last 2 days or those 4 days, I am kind of shortchanging what I should be getting or what I think I should be getting out of the hop. So I'm going to have to start adjusting that idea and put more hops in, I think, than I should. And then eventually I'll work out some kind of formula or system for that, I think. That's my theory. Theories are, well, they're theories. They're not facts. So that's what we'll see. We'll see what happens. Yeast, Flagship by Imperial. It was going to be the Chico strain no matter what brand it was. And that's what I had. I had a vial of that, so I propagated it. It's going to be, there's going to be like no character, aroma, or flavor from the yeast other than the alcohol. That's what that yeast was picked for. So we're not looking for any additional esters. Maybe you're going to get some kind of yeast character, but we're not going to get some big esters like a British, big fruity esters like a British yeast or banana and clove like a German Hefeweizen yeast. This is going to be nice and clean with all goes well, of course, nice. Clean fermentation is just going to add alcohol and convert everything over. And should be, knock on wood, don't know if you can, mic's close enough to my desk to hear that, knock on wood, should be a good start to a new red IPA. This is another boring brew day. I think everything went well. I'm looking at my sheets here. The only thing that went different, not even bad, is that my original gravity target was 1061 and I got 1064. So my efficiency was a little higher than normal. It did attenuate down to 1012. The estimation was 1014. So we got a little bit more efficiency out of the yeast as well. So instead of getting the predicted 6.2 ABV for this beer, I ended up getting 6.8. And who's really going to complain about more alcohol? And it's still within the range. If I'm really worried about hitting numbers for range, again, I've said this a thousand times now, that you don't have to declare your numbers in a competition, so it doesn't really matter as long as it tastes like it's in range. But if I were to be a stickler for having anything within range, the range for a red IPA is 5.5 to 7.5. So I'm kind of just about in the middle there, give or take just a couple of points. So all's good. Brew day went well. The reason I know that 3 weeks later, or 4 weeks actually, it's longer than that. Very later. Jeez, I should have actually noted that date. But weeks later is that I have no story in my head to tell. I never remember the details of when it's a good brew day. I remember everything that goes wrong on bad brew days, and I have no recollection of this brew day at all. So it went well, apparently. So with that, the only way to find out if this is a good start to the recipe is to taste the beer. So here we go. Here is the tasting of this red IPA. All right, I am at the tasting point of this episode for the red IPA, and I just poured myself a glass out of a bottle specifically. Well, one, I only had bottles of it. That keg is long gone. But doing this episode and tasting this beer is serving two purposes. One, I wanted to get the episode out. And two, I just entered this in a competition, and there's a lot of good said and a lot of bad said. And one thing it did say is that it was lacking carbonation, and I do not see. I'm going to taste, but just judging on appearances, I have no idea yet what they're talking about. So it could have been a bad bottle, but if that were the case, I should ask for the second bottle to make sure. But this competition, there's some more to be said about it that's not positive. So I'm just going to let that go. I'm not going to let that stop me from entering this again in a bigger competition, which with some what I think is a better set of judges. That's all I'm going to say. No sense in throwing any direct shade. I'll throw that indirect, passive-aggressive shade. So the color, this is just, man, this is what I love. This is exactly the color I love in a beer. It is red, deep amber red. You get it with the right lighting in the background where some of it is dark and there's some bright spots and there's just this beautiful red highlights just shining right in your face. In fact, I should take a picture of what I'm looking at right now. This is almost perfect of what I'm talking about. It's always hard to get pictures of amber beers for some reason. And this is actually a pretty good shot. I'm going to try. I might use that on the episode. We'll see how it comes out. I just love the look of this. The head, it didn't pour real thick. It was about a half finger high ahead, but it is covered in CO2 in bubbles. Just the head fell, but it is covering it completely. There's not a single spot at the top of this beer that's red. It's all shades of carbonation, white and red. So it's not the thickest head. It's not holding very long, but what is left of it is sticking around. So let's go to aroma. And this might be the perfect beer. It's an oddball beer. I don't think it shows up in terribly too many places. It's not as strange as like a brown IPA or a white IPA, but a red IPA, black IPA, they're kind of like, they need to be dialed in. But when it's dialed in, it might be the perfect beer. And the aroma on this is exactly what I want. It is hops and malt. And I'm getting big citrus, direct orange, a little bit of grapefruit, a little bit of pith in a good way. That's usually a bad thing, but in this case, it's good. And I'm getting a little bit of caramel, a little bit of burnt sugar, some general malt sweetness is probably being carried out by the little bit of a presence of alcohol. No heat whatsoever. Really no direct esters. They're all covered up by that incredible hop and malt combination. So that's, I just, I love this style. So let me take a taste now. The first thing I want to say, going back to carbonation, there, I didn't try to, tried not to burp directly in the mic, but the first thing, all I could feel, and I was looking for it, truth be told, was the sensation of those carbonation bubbles breaking across my tongue, and they were there. It's, I don't know what, that bottle must have just been a bad seal, which is hard to believe with that bottle, the bottling, the tool I used, the bottle, but it could be, and shame on them for not getting the second bottle. But let me go for a better taste now that I like my initial, what's the word I was looking for? My initial purpose of pouring this beer is gone. It's caramel and hops. It is a little bit of base malt sweetness in there, balancing it out. The hops, I think they're starting to fade. This is one I made, man, early in the year. So I'm actually kind of glad I did this. I was going to enter this in a competition. I might not now because the hops are fading. They're not faded yet, but by the time they judge this, it might be completely faded. But it's still good. Now, it was better when I made it, but it's still good. And IPA is a tough category because they tend to combine. You got three choices. You got American IPA, you have specialty IPA, and you have hazy IPA. Very rarely do you get all three of those. Sometimes you do. And this one might. It's a 400 entry competition. They might do that. But typically, you either get standard IPA, standard American IPA, and specialty IPA in one category, or you get specialty IPA and hazy IPA in another category, which means they're very large numbered entries. So I may roll the dice and put in my American wheat instead. I think that's a better example of style. I think it will be a better example of style when it gets to the judges. This is, in fact, I would say, being honest, I'm talking about my own beer. I think the American wheat is a better example of style than this is a red IPA. Now, wasn't before, and that's the gamble. Or that's just the nature of IPAs. The hops are fleeting. Sometimes they go very quick. Sometimes they linger for a little bit. With pale ales, they tend to stick around a lot more. When it's very late hopped and dry hopped heavy, that's in my experience, and maybe with the methods, the processes I use to make beer, maybe that's what happens to mine. They tend to go away fast. So I might make that substitution, which, oh no, that means I have to drink three other bottles of the red IPA I saved for that competition sooner than later. Oh dear, that's terrible. So all I did was really describe why this shouldn't go into competition. Let me tell you what's good about it. So first and foremost, this is probably the most balanced thing I'll drink this week. And it should be a little more IPA forward, but actually as it is, it's a pretty fun beer because I get a very distinct caramel, little bit of sugar, like a brown, more of a brown dark sugar. The base malt, excuse me, I'm trying not to burp. I don't know what they're talking about with no carbonation. Now that I held back my burp, I'm coughing. Then on top of that, I get an earthiness with the hops. I get a little bit of the citrus. The aroma on it is much stronger than the flavor. A little bit of citrus in the hops. I get some kind of zest and pith character, which is actually really nice with that caramel. It's a well-balanced beer. I would like it, and it has been before. I'm not defending myself. I'm just explaining. It has been more hop forward in the past when I was younger, but still not a bad beer. It's probably going to come across as an American amber more than anything, which actually makes me think maybe that's what I should enter it as. Although I do have, I have another beer in that category. I don't like competing against myself. I already don't like competing against other club members because it takes away chances at higher points. I really don't like competing against myself. So I might not do that for this one. Maybe I'll hold on to those. How many do I have? That might be, I would much rather drink them than hold on to them for a Hail Mary for competition, but maybe I should do that just in case as an American Amber Ale. You know what? I wasn't going to pull up the guidelines for this because I just wanted to talk about it because I love this style, but while we're at it, let's look at the BJCP guidelines for an American Amber Ale, which I'm trying to stall as I type. I can't type and talk very well. I don't know if anyone else has that trouble. don't know if anyone else tries to do that. So appearance, I'm not too worried about. Aroma, okay, low to moderate hop aroma. Okay, we got moderate. It's a little more than moderate, but maybe we can get by. I might swing by. New world hop variety, citrus, floral, pine. Okay, that's definitely in there. Flavor, this is really what I'm concerned about. Moderate to high hop flavor. So if this was not presented to someone as an IPA, I would say it's actually on the high side, but it's low for an IPA. But for a non-IPA, it's high. So this fits. And it says American New World hop varieties. Okay, citrus, floral, pine, blah, 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 blah. We all know that. Okay, let's get on to some more details here outside of that. A citrus hop character is common. Okay, but not required. That's fine. Malt flavors are moderate to strong. Definitely moderate. Initial malty sweetness followed by moderate caramel flavor and sometimes other characteristic malts in lesser amounts. Malt and hop bitterness is usually very balanced and mutually supportive, but can vary either way. Ooh. All right, now I'm starting to think. even though this is a red IPA episode, it might be an American amber ale beer that I am drinking now at this point in time, and even more so by the time that judging comes along. I have not tasted the beer that would be competing with this if I were to enter it. So I now have to taste that. And that is actually what I'm going to be recording next. So you're going to hear this in not real time whatsoever. You're going to hear this story unfold as the episodes are released. I'll tell you now, I'm entering planning to enter. I might change my mind by all said and done. A California Common, which is in the same category as this. But that's the next recording I'm going to do. I might change my mind and enter this red IPA as an American amber ale. And if I win something, I love when that happens. Not just when I do it, but when anyone does it. When you go to make something and it tastes like something completely different and you do well, I don't know why I think that's so cool, but it is. In fact, my favorite story, I won't say any names because I haven't talked to him about sharing this story, but I will tell you the details. My favorite story of that of all time is a club member went to make it was a fantasy draft beer. I think I can tell that much. And the main ingredients they had were Kvike and cherry candy and a couple of your usual adjuncts and hops and whatnot. But I think those were the two main things. Made a beer we could not put our finger on until me and another judge sat there and really racked our brains and said, this is a sizer. I don't know how it's a sizer, but it's a sizer. And if you don't know what a sizer is, it's a half mead, half apple cider, basically. There's a little more to it than that, but that's talking generally. So we didn't even convince him. We just gave him the information and he entered it as a sizer and he won a gold medal in specialty meads. And there's not a drop of honey in this. There's not a drop of apple in this. That, I think, is the best example of never, ever enter a beer the way you intended if it's coming out like something else. Like, I would love to have a gold medal red IPA on my wall, or gold medal for red IPA on my wall, but this is not a red IPA. The more I'm thinking about it, this is an amber ale, and I'd be just as happy to have a gold for that. And I don't know that I can repeat this, because you can't count on when hops are fleeting. But that might be what I do. I'm going to taste it one more time, and then I'm going to go into that California Common recording, and you're going to hear what I end up doing. It's a freaking amber ale. Wow. I would have never considered that if I didn't read these. Holy crap. Yeah. So right now it's an amber ale. It did start life as a red IPA. That's kind of actually pretty cool that it's now melted into something else. So now whether or not I enter it, I don't know. We're going to find out. And you're going to find that out in the next episode because I'm going to go do that California Common episode right now. In fact, this one's a proper one. This is going to have an intro, the brew day, and then the tasting. So you're about to hear what I decide and what's going to happen. And then I'll probably come back later and give you a wrap up on what the judges thought of this. So very interesting development in this episode. This is not how I plan to start this one, but how it's ending is pretty fascinating. So stay tuned To find out what happens next, this is like the first time I think I ended on a true cliffhanger. I know my three-part series of Science on Tap kind of were definitive parts one, part two, and part three, and you can listen to those separately, but now you gotta, if you really want to know what I end up doing with these last three bottles of this beer, you're going to have to check out the next episode. So until then, I will say thank you for listening. Thank you for letting me go through this. Thank you. Thank you for listening to past episodes, which motivate me to make these current episodes, which have forced me to do something I wasn't necessarily intending to do, which was pre-taste my beers before entering. I'm so glad of how this timing worked out. So again, thank you for listening, and I'll see you in the next episode.